Hey, what's up, everyone? You're listening to the Man Reinvented Show. I'm your host, Scott Taylor. I'm a former door-to-door salesman who gave up a six-figure income that I earned in just 4 months out of the year to pursue my passion of making a bigger impact in the world. This is the podcast where I talk with amazing people making big changes to fulfill their deeper purpose. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the Man Reinvented Show. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, and I've got a great guy with me. I met him at an event back in November or September, I think. Anyways, he's an awesome guy. He actually helps people launch podcasts and have the most success possible. He gets them in the ranking of the 1 to 100 list on all the platforms, and he's like a guru in podcasting. You can find him at Success or Podcast Success Secrets Group in Facebook. That's the name of it. But Daxi Perez, why don't you introduce yourself really quick?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm super excited to be here. Yeah, that's what you said is exactly what we do. We help people specialize in launching their podcast effectively. And because podcasting is about the long term, not just the launch, we also do we have a done-for-you agency, so we help people produce and publish their podcasts. Because we work with a lot of busy people, from some of them, and they don't have time to do the little things. So we do the monthly production and distribution too. So yeah,
yeah. Can you drop some of the names that you work for?
Or is that not? I can drop some of them. Okay. Yeah. So Steve Larson.
Okay, Steve Larson wearing his shirt here.
Yes, Capitalist Pig. Oh, I don't have. I had his. Yesterday was Monday, and I had his. It's yeah. Monday, baby. Shirt on.
Awesome.
So Stacy Martino, she spoke on stage. She's really awesome at FH Funnel Hacking Live. Christy Code Red, she's been really fun. Josh Forty, Tyler Jorgensen, and then a lot of other. John Albert Ferguson, the guy I introduced you to.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at about 15 people right now, and we're trying to. And that's only been like 5 months. Four months that we started like signing people. So yeah, it's been, and we're going to double.
Very cool.
Definitely. Man. Yeah. So it's been fun.
So if any of you out there that's listening that has a podcast, check out Daxi's Facebook
group. Yeah. Yeah. And I try to give away a lot of info free in the group and on my podcast. So yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Well, awesome, Daxi. Well, I really appreciate you jumping on here with me. Why don't you just kind of give me like your backstory? What's your history in this entrepreneurial game that you're in right now? Like, where did you start and how did you end up where you're at now?
Yeah, man. It's weird because I tell people I'm like, I don't identify with the word entrepreneur because that's not what I did all my life. Like, I wasn't the lemonade stand kid. I wasn't selling candy at school. I was more like, I was introverted, and I guess it's because, your environment shapes you. I was never had the proper sources of knowledge because I'm the type of person, I realized this later in life, for me to learn something, I have to go to the person doing the thing that I want and learn from them. While the whole education system, society puts you on a different path. They set you up, yep. Like, we know what you need to do, or they set you up for the job pretty much. Uh-huh. And I never like was good at being told what to do because I always felt like I was intuitive. I knew what I wanted to do. I'm in a moment. And if I didn't trust my gut, then I would hate my situation. So yeah, in high school, I was really into music, creating music. So I learned that skill of audio production. And it wasn't until I got into college where I switched my major like 3 or 4 times. I was like, what the hell's happening?
You and everyone else, right?
Yeah. So honestly, I started taking more risk and I started buying and educating from alternative sources. You know, like the first thing I bought was Ty Lopez program, like way back in the day. And then I bought a bunch of courses on Udemy, like dozens. I was the guy who would buy like the cheap courses on Udemy. If you guys, it's like a website where people, just course creators, for they sell stuff for cheap. I remember there was one course I bought where it was like this guy who was making money on selling balloons to cake shops. So the cake shops would resell them. Dude, it was literally... Like, I was doing that for like a week. I was making like $3 a bundle. It was so dumb. But I was like, but,
you said $3 or 300?
No, $3 a bundle.
Three dude. Bucks a bundle, man. Yeah. Cash it in.
But I mean, like for some cake shops, you'll give them like you know, 10 bundles or 5 bundles, whatever. It was stupid. but the first thing I found success in was drop shipping, arbitrage, retail arbitrage. So like buying from Home Depot and Amazon and putting it on eBay, like totally just arbitrage. And then, yeah, I just progressively failure after failure, building blocks. And I got really lucky with a course. Not lucky. It was probably the biggest investment I made. I bought a course for like $3,000 on how to drop ship, but high ticket drop shipping. First credit card ever, maxed it out. I was like, I'm not going back. I got to figure something out and commit to it. So it took me like 4 months to kind of like build that store, because a high ticket drop shipping, and you got to develop relationships with US suppliers, and required me to lie a lot to all these guys. Yeah. to get them to like allow to sell their products, you know? But then I started getting success with that. I was doing like 10, 20,000 a month. And then I started like, I wanted to live the digital nomad lifestyle, traveled to Asia for like a year. Always with little side hustles, doing things, always freelancing too. So I was freelancing with the audio skills I had. And then I got lucky. I ran to some people who had some big agencies, worked on some huge shows when I was in Thailand. That was about 3 years ago. I started working with them, helping them with their system or with their audio quality. Then I was like, man, you guys suck, because you could be doing so much more for people's success. Like podcast agency world guys, like I've been in a few big ones. All they do is like audio and blog. Like they're still in the 90s. So I was like, when I was seeing like what there's so much more you can do for people, I was like, I saw this opportunity to like do all these other things for clients. So
do a podcasting agency.
Yeah. So not just audio and blog, but also like the content machine, you know, how can we make them like visible from their audio on every platform, whether it's written, video, or just graphic, repurpose things. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing an amazing job with Steven Larson. I mean, he is flipping everywhere. You can't escape him.
I mean, so I can't take credit for Steve, cause he has like 7 people on his team.
You're just one piece of it then, right?
Yes. But for other people, we're the whole thing, but, yeah, Steve's a beast though.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I actually knew him back in college, back when he was playing video games in my recruiting office. I was one of the guys that helped train him in pest control sales.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
But I've seen him from beginning till now. Like I've seen the whole thing, you know, it's pretty amazing what he's accomplished. So, well, that's awesome, Daxi. I mean, what a cool road. How many years do you think it took you from like your first thing till now? And like, how much money did you invested,
man? Tens of thousands of dollars. Definitely. For my first thing, yeah, I would say my first thing was the arbitrage. That was probably 2014, 2015.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I got banned from Amazon and eBay that I had a pivot.
you had the slap, huh?
I had the slap. Yeah.
I had an account from Amazon shut down, man. And they hold your money for, what is it, like 90 days
or something? I never got my money back, dude.
Oh, you didn't? Dang.
Yeah, like $4,000 just gone. I even emailed Jeff at Amazon.com. He didn't reply.
What a punk.
Yeah. It was because I think it's still active, their print thing. What is it called? Print with Amazon or print on shirts. You can like, so it was when they first opened. I was selling a lot because there wasn't a lot of people bidding for categories. And I didn't know that there was just copyright things. I didn't know that existed. So I was selling shirts with like the Lego Man and Pokemon. And apparently like I thought it was 3 strikes you're out. It was actually 2 strikes. So they told me once. I was like, whatever, I'll just pivot. And then they just shut my account down after the second strike. And I was like, wait, I have all this money made from shirts that weren't copyrighted. Why aren't you giving it to me? And it's fucking Amazon. So they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Well, man, what a ride. I mean, it's taken some time to get to where you're at, but what do you think some of the most important lessons I think you've learned? I mean, obviously my show is called Man Reinvented. The idea of it is behind like finding people out there that are in a position in their career where they want to make a change and reinvent themselves and go a different direction where they have more opportunity, more scalability, more reach, more contribution. And so like, what's the most valuable lessons you've learned in this journey that you've been on?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I still have a long way to my journey, but it's weird. You learn lessons at different phases of your life. So a lot of the stuff I could tell you, it'll be applicable to people who are in different phases. But right now, man, the biggest thing is self-awareness. So knowing exactly, like, you're the foundation of everything. And if you try to live by what people say you should do, or what works, or, you know, conventional thought, then it's not coming from you. Then it's always like a losing framework, I feel like, because you know you better than anyone else. So knowing your personality, knowing what you're good at, knowing what you're bad at, and just so it's that, having self-awareness, and also doing less is more, is what I realized.
Because ain't that the truth?
Yeah, if you try to do a lot of things, you're sacrificing attention from something. Like if you're doing like five things, well, now these other four things are getting less attention, and they're not being like fully developed or seen to their fruition. So I realized, like, when I went to Steve's last event, Offer Lab, like, I was like, man, we got to do less and like focus on the main thing. Like Sam Bubbins always says, make the main thing the main thing, and like go deeper on that and screw everything else. So yeah.
So are you talking like hire the who, not the how? Figure out the who, not the how, and
that's one aspect of it. Definitely. There's a book called Rocket Fuel. So one of the things that helped me the most is in the book Rocket Fuel explains this. It talks about the companies that grow the fastest, like Rocket Fuel, are usually there's a visionary and then there's an integrator, like Apple and Microsoft, Steve Jobs and his other partner, whoever their names were. Steve Jobs was the visionary. He didn't code. He knew how to like inspire people. He knew how to like, he saw the market. He saw the opportunity. He saw everything. He made the inventions or thought of the inventions while someone else was like actually like putting them in place and like filtering out all of his bad ideas. I realized I'm a horrible integrator. I'm not good with like systems and like hiring and like, yeah, it just makes me mad. Not mad, but it just makes me like not enjoy the process. But other people actually like that. They like seeing a vision. They don't want to make the vision, but they like seeing it and then and like building it like Legos. I'm the other way around, you know. I kind of just see things, and then when it comes to the small stuff, I'm like, no, I see this big thing. What? why? I don't want to think of it. So I got a really good partner who's like an integrator, like really good, and it just makes us both even better. So that's one of the biggest things I've learned. Yeah. So
that's awesome. That's good. That's good information. I mean, with me, I'm kind of like the visionary, like it's hard for me to do systems. My wife, she's my business partner. And she's like, she's an accounting major, like, you know, she's spreadsheets and all that. And she's super good at like integration and doing things. So, but yeah, that's good advice, man. Now I think where I'd like to end this part of it is where are you planning to go? Like, what's your goal? Like in 1 year, 5 years, like where are you trying to
Yeah. Go? So it's always weird when people ask me that question, because like, obviously like in 5 years, I know where I want to be eventually in life. But like anything past like 12 months to me is kind of like blurry, because the next 3 or 6 months will dictate that. You know what I mean? Because it's like a snowball. Things happen and you just go with momentum. So obviously the next 6 to 12 months is just financial related, and building a machine where, we can make money. But obviously like we have a core purpose and value. Like we like to help people build community and empower people, but that's pretty much what my next 12 months is right now. It's just focusing on the financial aspect, the income aspect. But my actual like dream and like what I want in life, I want to like disrupt the music industry. And, because I used to be an artist, I know what the starving artist syndrome is like. And I know music's going nowhere. And a lot of the people who are in the industry, they don't understand marketing or like brand building too much, I feel like. There's so much talent out there and there's no middleman anymore. Like you can find the talent just, I don't know if you heard of SoundCloud. They're just platforms where kids just make music and upload it. And then like no one's finding it. And I'm like, and I know like what sounds good. And I'm like, man, this is like amazing stuff. You just need to be nurtured and you need to like be put it. So I want to have like a music label agency and like create events. And like that's my big dream. Like from everything I learned in the marketing world, apply that to the music world. And yeah, kind of disrupt that. So
very cool. Do you have an instrument that you play?
No, man, that's the cool thing.
Is your computer your instrument?
Yeah, that's the cool thing. A lot of electronic musicians, like some of the biggest ones, like even some of the people I follow who are like very classically trained, like some of the best in the country. A lot of it is just synthesizers. Like if I like to think like if Beethoven or if like Mozart was alive, they would be using a synthesizer because there's so much more like modulation you can do and like
tinkering.
Even the some of the biggest guys who make scores for like Batman and stuff, they have walls of just synthesizers and like
really
electronic. Yeah, because there's so much cool things you can do that you can't do with an instrument that's just you can't play with. I mean, you can play with it, but you can't change the foundation of it. So
that's cool, man. Yeah, my kids play a little keyboard, and there's like all these functions you can do, you know, mix stuff together and synthesize it or whatnot. But yeah, I didn't realize that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a good instrument to play.
So I play the trombone. I don't know.
The trombone. I always wanted to play the saxophone, to be honest.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was, my brother had a trombone laying around, and when I hit sixth grade, I just naturally went into band. And then I did seventh grade, and then I was like really good at it, but I even took private lessons in it.
Nice. So,
but yeah, I love music too, but I never mix stuff like what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty fun, at least to me. So
yeah, no, that's awesome stuff, man. I mean, that's every movie you listen to or watch. I mean, there's always amazing scores behind it. And then it's really the music.
It
makes you feel more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So like that was one of the things, like I didn't feel at place like in high school and college, and music was one of the things that inspired me. I've realized this, I learned this recently, like our brain is like 70-80% water. And if you look at what music does to water or like sound waves and like vibrations, it really just shapes it. And I think our brain is, our mind is like how we think is a reflection of like what we intake. So one of the first things I learned from like the internet changed my life. First of all, like without the internet, like I wouldn't be here. Like it's crazy how young it is. Because it just made learning accessible no matter where you're at in the world. And I learned how to make music from YouTube. Like I would watch one of the biggest electronic musicians, Deadmau5. He would stream 8-hour sessions, him just making music back in 2008, unfiltered, just like whatever.
Just everything.
And I just watched over his shoulder and he screen shared and I was like, what is he doing? Okay. And I learning step by step. So that's how I like learned how to learn, by having a passion and then learning through it. And the internet allowed me to learn. And I was like, I think intuitively, I didn't know at the time, I was like, I can just learn anything I want with the internet. And that's what I did.
Absolutely. So, yeah. With the right discipline, spend the right amount of time and just step by step.
Yeah. Anything that you want to learn is out there for free. Obviously, there might be more filtering if you don't pay for it.
Yeah.
More crap you have to go through, but yeah.
Have you followed that guy in ClickFunnels? He got the Two Comma Club Award, I think this year or last year, but he basically brings like recording artists in to record, and he shows different recording artists' perspectives, and he films the whole thing and he live streams it and has a whole platform built on it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I can't remember
his name. I met him once. Amazing guy.
Was it Pat?
Anyways, Pat might be his name. I can't remember. Anyways, he's got a lady that's with him always when he's at the events, but that's what he does. He makes like $2 million a year.
I'm curious to know who this is now.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'll figure out who he is and I'll shoot you a link to it when we're done with the interview. But yeah, you would be really interested in seeing what he does.
For sure.
Sweet. Pretty cool stuff. So, well, cool, man. That's awesome. So into music, into recording art stuff. I guess one thing, since you're a podcast expert guru, I mean, I'm in the middle of all that right now. Like I've been doing it all on my own. As with someone that's just starting out podcasting and they don't have a lot of capital to work with, what are some tools and things that you would have them do to get kind of started?
Yeah. So obviously it's figuring out what's the point of the podcast. Like what's the goal? Like how do you define winning? Then when you know what that is and you know your value ladders and stuff, then it's much easier to work backwards and to simplify things to get to that goal easier. So in the start, you want to make things simple. Obviously, don't overcommit to the amount you can do. There's a lot of things you want to figure out, you know, is it going to be an interview podcast, solo content? But you mainly want to have, because podcast isn't an organic type thing. Like it's not evergreen, meaning like people aren't just searching for new podcasts every day. Like the algorithm for search is like, if people search in podcasts, it's broad terms. Like they're like sales, business, real estate, like stuff like that. It's not like YouTube where they're searching specific things yet. So figuring out what is it to be your main, and this requires some market analysis, but what is it to be your main channel for communication? So people who already follow you, where can you keep communicating with them? Whether it's an email list, Facebook group, Facebook page, Instagram profile, what is the best? I personally like Instagram the best. And then figuring out where can people discover me? Where am I getting new traffic? Because traffic has to be driven to podcast. It can't, you can't just like make the podcast and expect people to go there. So yeah, figuring out what those two things are. I like using Instagram for both, to be honest, for discovery, but every niche is different. So checklisting out what your whole process is and then being, you know, kind of figuring out, all right, this whole thing takes me like 2 hours to do or 1 hour per episode. Can I hire someone in Philippines to do it for $5 an hour? Probably, most likely. You have to checklist it out because you have to tell them what to do, you know? So that'll be the first thing I would tell people. Like it's so much easier to hire people and like,
then do it all yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like last week I was like probably 8 episodes behind on all my process. Yeah. And this week I've kind of almost caught myself up, but it takes time and I don't even edit. I don't even edit.
Yeah. So I still do my own podcast only because I actually get fulfillment from doing it. Meaning like uploading it and stuff. I like listening to myself. I don't know why. It sounds like I have a big ego. No. But I'm only doing that because I like to review. So like after I do it, I review myself kind of. I don't know if that's normal. I don't think it's normal.
No, so you can see where you can learn, where you can improve and get better, right?
Exactly. So I'm going to be plugging it into my team soon, but I've also been doing it just because I'm sharing with people, like I'm learning more about, because I've never done it myself, to be honest. I had one way back in the day, but I had someone else helping me with that. So yeah, I don't know if that completely answers your questions. Obviously there's so much more.
So what are some softwares that you would have a beginner use?
Yeah.
I guess.
I personally like
you like Anchor?
No.
You don't?
I like Simplecast.
Simplecast.
Yeah, it's like $15 a month for unlimited storage. But they also have features like it's a recast, so it's like you can create snippets of your episode and put it into like a video format. You can share it to social media. They're also doing like my partner Ryan just posted in Facebook today. He was speaking with them on the phone because we have a lot of clients with them. So we're just having a partnership. They're going to be releasing some shows with Netflix, which is big, but they haven't even announced that yet. Dude.
No way.
I don't think anybody knows that. They're patenting some like technology for listener tracking. So figuring out when people come into your podcast, what episode they listen, when do they subscribe or unsubscribe, like literally like down to like the second, like when are they doing things? And a lot more cool stuff. Like they're actually improving their UI UX, which I like in a service when they're changing.
What's a UI UX?
User interface and user experience.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like Libsyn looks like you're in the freaking 90s, dude. Like,
yeah, I haven't used Libsyn. I'm on Anchor for just a start. And I realized and I knew that you could upgrade to other accounts and basically put everything in there. But
Anchor is good for like the beginner, for when you're starting to keep things simple. There's a few things
That's why I do it.
Yeah. And that's their business model. They own your data. Because if you go through Anchor, you don't own your iTunes account. For every other platform, you have to create your iTunes account and then connect it, or your Apple Podcast account. So Apple Podcast has a lot of data. that's relevant, you know, like what platforms, like as far as like listener location, listener age, how long are they listening to an episode? A lot of stuff, like which device they're listening on. So I like to see that.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. So Simplecast.
Well, host is a host. So whatever you're using that's working, whatever. That's mm-hmm. not, if it's not a problem, it's not a problem. I like using otter.ai. It's a transcription platform. It's basically free.
Kind of like Rev, right? Where it takes your words and puts it into text so you can put it in a blog.
Yeah, but it's automated. So you're not paying.
Oh, okay. Someone,
so it's like 95% correct, whatever. Uh-huh. But it's like 0.001 cent per minute. So it's stupidly cheap.
Wow.
Like I think for like $9 a month, you get like 6,000 minutes, which, you know, do the math. I don't know how many hours that is, but you're not going to hit,
that's a lot.
Not gonna hit that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even have the subscription. I think you just get 100 minutes like a month for free or something, or 1,000 minutes.
So what's it called again?
Otter.ai.
Otter.ai. So otter, like the animal.
O-T-T-E-R.
Otter.ai. Okay.
And I upload my episodes there because I like personally having a written version.
Uh-huh.
Because when it comes to writing show notes or writing hooks or teasers, I can kind of like browse like the first few paragraphs, figure out if I said something I like or that sounds good. It's like that I can use as far as like copy for like an Instagram post or a Facebook post or something. Just repurposing. And I use repurpose.io. It's a software from my buddy Hani. It automatically takes the audio from your podcast and puts it into a YouTube video. It creates the thumbnail. It creates like a waveform on the video, and it's like looks good. It takes
your
show notes. Yeah, and YouTube is really one of the easiest ways to rank in the algorithm, because Google favors YouTube when it comes to when people search stuff. Like if you search something, especially if you search a name, YouTube recommendations will show up first. So I've interviewed people and I've ranked for certain people I interviewed just on their name, just when people search their name. And I've gotten a lot of listeners.
So you just put their name in the tags in the YouTube video?
In the title.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because repurpose.io doesn't really give you a feature for tag, just because it is automated. If you want, you can make it manual.
Well, you can go into all the videos and edit them, right?
You could. Yeah.
The description or the whatever tags.
Yeah, I'm just lazy. So, and then also that tool too will take your Facebook lives and also automatically put them on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's my YouTube channel has all these videos I've never downloaded or, cause that's a process, man. Like
that takes a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
It's automated behind the scenes. I think it's like 15, 20 bucks a month. So yeah, that's, what else do I use? I'm trying to think of a simple, Buffer or Hootsuite. So once you do want to put it out to platform, to platforms, you can just schedule them out. For like, I schedule out Instagram, my Facebook group, LinkedIn, other people might be Pinterest. There's so many platforms.
Does Hootsuite allow you to, schedule it on your personal profile at all?
Yes.
Oh, does it? Cause I know Facebook doesn't allow that.
I use
Buffer. Okay. I thought you said Hootsuite.
I think no. So for clients, we use Hootsuite. I personally use Buffer. Actually, I don't know.
Cause that's one thing I've had an issue with is I've tried to like schedule stuff on my personal profile on Facebook. There's no schedule feature in a group. There is maybe you figured out a way around that, but,
actually I don't know. No, it says Facebook profiles can no longer be connected to Buffer.
Oh, so,
no. But yeah,
dang Zuckerberg.
And then, obviously like I create an email template. A lot of it is just repurposing. I almost use the same episode title, use the same show note copy description. And then I have like a box, like listen on YouTube, listen on iTunes, listen on wherever you want. Those do really well, the emails. And then graphics. You can just make a Canva template, have a space for your headline, have a space for your episode title, and that's all you change.
That's what I did too. I just did it all in Canva. grabbed a free picture out online, threw it on there for my, even my podcast.
The main thing you want to get across, you don't want to get fancy in the start if it takes up too much time. Just get your hooks across. Like, what's going to get people interested? Because the words are going to sell more than anything, or it's going to pique curiosity more than anything. Like, I can make a post about something crazy. I don't know. I can't think of anything crazy right now. But it would get a lot of interest. So just try to make good hooks, you know. And then
the whole hook story offer. Right,
the old hooks, the whole hook story offer never fails. That's pretty much it. So it's honestly it's just documenting your process and then putting it in a checklist format.
And you use just like a Word document, make your checklist, or a Excel?
I use Trello.
Oh, you use Trello? Okay.
Yeah, and then I have columns. And then when things are in certain positions in the process, like needs to be recorded. Recorded, creative, published. And then you just move them. And so that way you can know, like, you can have episodes in the bank and you know how many you have in the bank, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, and then set aside days for recording content. So you can either batch it.
Yeah.
But this depends if you have an interview show or
solo
content show. Yeah.
If you're doing solo, just batch it all, right? Just get it all done in one day so you're not spending your entire week podcasting.
Ideally. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know. When I interviewed Steven, he was like, "I don't do interviews on this day. You're lucky that I got you. That you got me." Because I think
it was
like Thursday or something crazy.
Okay, I was hacking his interview steve.com. I got interviewdaxi.com. If you guys are curious,
nice.
If you want to interview me,
I guess I got ahead of the line with you as well. Then, huh?
I saw he had an open day.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, it was like in August.
Go get it, everyone.
No, it's gone. I took it.
Oh, you
did? Yeah. So I don't know if he. Oh, it's actually August 27th. I see it right here.
Yeah, I'm in Voxer with him, and so because I closed for him for his MLM stuff.
Yeah.
And so I just boxed him. Say, hey, dude, you want to be on my?
Know what? I could do that because I was literally chatting with him for like 10 minutes yesterday.
Because,
like, we're working on some new stuff. I could do that. Like, we've been working together for 16 months now. But I just wanted to surprise him.
I'm on there. That's so cool. Yeah, it's amazing. Now one thing I've noticed, and I'm reaching out to a lot of closers. That's kind of how I got you on here. I was asking on a Facebook group, Who are the best closers out there, everyone? Tell me what, you know.
I know some good ones, man. That's some additional good ones for you, by the way.
Awesome. Well, I need to talk to them because I've got a bunch lined up from that one post. I've basically reached out to every single one and almost everyone gets back to me. And I think the biggest reason is I have a show.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest hacks, I think, in the online world is you guys start a show, start a blog, start something. Because if you can get someone... If you can go to a high level person and say, "Hey, I've got a show, I can push your audience, your message out there to a greater audience," they're always willing to get on your show.
Yeah. And especially if it's like a bigger person, you can tell them like part of the pitch is like, "Hey, we'll create 5-10 unique pieces of content around our interview to promote you."
Uh-huh.
So they're like, "Oh, free marketing. Why not?"
Yeah. That's a good idea. I haven't thought about that angle.
Yeah. But that's when you have like a machine in place or you can actually deliver on it.
Yeah.
Or if it's like a really good opportunity, just like work extra for that episode or something. So yeah.
That's awesome. Well, let's see what time do we have? It's 40 minutes into it, man. I could keep going forever with you, man. I have so many questions, but
yeah.
I think one of the big questions I have is what is your format for a podcast? Like, do you have a teaser video, teaser soundbite of the podcast up front always? And then there's the intro and then there's the show. And then there's the outro. Is that pretty much how you do it?
Fundamentally, yeah. It varies based off of the person, the theme of the show, their personality, the audience, what they're listening for. But let's just say it's like an entrepreneurship, because there's a weird section of podcasts that I don't deal with that is really big, like true crime and comedy. And there was this big show that blew up. It's like Chicks and Dicks, I think is what it's called. Or it's like something like that, where they just talk about like Yeah, two girls talk about things.
Just rude and lewd, huh?
Yeah, rude and lewd. Yeah, it's just like rhyming titles. There's a ton of those shows. So structure of the show, it is good to start with a hook. And people call it a teaser. Teasers work if it's good, but I personally like, especially if it's your show, starting with your voice, not with the other person's. Uh-huh. A lot of people do it, you know, whatever. It works, I guess. I'm just speaking subjectively as well.
Sure.
But I think starting with your voice, like, hey, like, this is why you should listen. This is what we're going to talk, like, future pacing them, whether uh-huh. it's an interview or a solo episode, what this whole thing's going to be about. So they have a reason to stay, to listen.
Okay.
We're going to cover blank, 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 blank. So that if you are talking about something that's like kind of whatever, they'll stay through it because they know something else is going to be on the other side.
So tell them what you're going to tell them and then recap what you told them, right?
That was great.
Tell them. I keep hearing that over and over again from different sources, you know, Russell and, you know, so many other different gurus out there.
I like how you put it. Your actual, if you're doing an interview, I like doing an introduction before it, like probably 1 minute. And this could also be a time to talk about just you or like what's going on. Like while you have a few, like 30 seconds to a minute, just to build that relationship. Because the thing about interviews is you're always highlighting someone else. Uh-huh. So you never get that chance to build, like John Lee Dumas, for example. I'm not throwing shade at him. He's a big guy, but he's always doing interviews. So people don't really know who he is still.
Uh-huh.
That's why the only thing he sells is a podcasting course.
Yeah.
Because that's what people know him as.
So if he started every one with his own like recap of what the episode's going to be like, it would help him position himself as more of authority in his audience.
Or just like maybe explain a little bit what's going on in his life for like a minute or two. Just give people some story.
Sure.
Or just do solo episodes.
So
that's the framework's easy to follow, the structure. It gets more into the scripting where it gets a little fun. Uh-huh. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm in the belly of the beast because I've been doing this. Like, guys, my audience out there, whoever's listening, like, seriously, I just ready, fire, aim. Sorry, I said that completely wrong. I just did this. Like, I didn't have a special mic and
fire.
Ready, aim,
You don't want to fire the name.
Well, like, that's the thing. That's what Russell Brunson always talks about, is you ready, fire, and then you aim. Like the whole concept, you just take action. And I could have been, you know, getting ready to get ready to get ready to get ready. I could have a, you know, a mic on the way and a, you know, a paparazzi screen behind me and, you know, all this special stuff, a standing desk. I actually have like totes right now. The mic. Yeah. It's like those little bins, those plastic bins you store stuff in.
Oh, okay.
That's my computer standing on right now. So I just started, and so I'm in the belly of the beast, like trying to figure out all these questions to help me better do my podcast. So, but like I said, I could keep going on and on for forever with you, but we got to end somewhere. So, well, why don't we end there, Daxi? Is there something that you'd like to tell? I think you said you had a 21 day challenge or something coming up.
So I don't know when people are going to be listening to this, but July 15th, we're launching our 21 day podcast launch
challenge. I'll have it out way before then.
Okay. So, if you're listening to this before, you can just join my group, cause I'll probably drop it in my group and then everywhere I exist online, Facebook, Instagram. That's just pretty much almost like a replica of a process we do for launching podcast, but just in a video format and educational format. And it's like,
Here's what you do
week one. Here's what you do week two. Here's what you do week three. And it's setting you up for success because your foundation is the most important. Having the right expectations and actually doing the right show. I've seen so many people change shows because they never did the right thing. Is one of the most important things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a Podcast Success Secrets group in Facebook. That's how you find it. They just search Secrets, that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how you find Daxi.
And I have a podcast as well, obviously. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Go check out the podcast. It's like a cartoon face, right?
Yeah.
On the thumbnail. Well, cool, man. So if any of you guys actually really, why don't you tell us what your ideal client is?
My ideal client?
Work with.
Yeah, people who, for our agency, so if you want to launch a podcast, ideally we work with people who have existing audiences, have existing offers, and they want to launch a podcast to kind of explode that into their audience and like make a splash in their market. Mm-hmm. We also work with people. We've been doing a launch quick start offer for people who are smaller as well recently, and it's been going pretty good. Uh-huh. So we also work with people who already have podcasts and transitioning them into our system because they're not getting the full effect of their message heard. So mm-hmm. we kind of help them on the marketing front. So usually, and that we're less picky. You just have to have a show uh-huh. and you have to okay. be willing, showing that you're in it for the long term and that uh-huh. you're willing to invest in the team. So that's pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Well, if anyone's out there that's in that boat, get a hold of Daxi. He's the man. He's the guru behind podcasting.
Cool. So, appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. Well, I'm gonna wrap things up, guys. You know, if you guys want to be more, do more, give more, you got to grow more. And that's kind of my whole, like, I guess, mantra in this show. If you want to make a change in your life, reinvent yourself. You know, start listening to some of these things, start doing some of these things, more importantly, do some of these things, take some action. If you like what you're seeing in the show, if you like the guests that I'm having on, please share it with people that you know. Also give us a comments, give us feedback, subscribe, all that good stuff. And, anyways, appreciate you guys all listening. And Daxi, thank you so much again. And, everyone have an amazing day.
Peace out.